Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What's up, everybody? Another edition of Redskins Talk the Podcast. We are very excited to have our boy Barstool Nate back on the podcast. Nate, before you say hello, I want to tell you something. This is a pretty big deal, man. So
what's that?
Steinberg was our first ever guest. So that's in the record books, right?
Yep.
But you are our first ever repeat guest. So
let's go.
Just want you to let that sink in, man.
That, you know what? That means I'm a better writer and more accomplished than Dan Steinberg.
Yeah, you're totally a post columnist. But
don't tell him I said that, because it's definitely not true.
But you're on the track to, like, you know, how many times has Alec Baldwin hosted Saturday Night Live? Like, that's the track you're on, man.
I could be the Alec Baldwin of your podcast. That's actually the biggest honor of all time, I suppose.
Dude, you know what? You are the Alec Baldwin of my podcast. How about that?
Wow. I expect my plaque in the mail.
All right. So you were, like, seeing the future on Sunday, which was pretty impressive. So I don't know the exact time, but a one play before, Kirk Cousins takes off from 19 yards out and scores on a design quarterback run that gave the Redskins their first lead and looked like a game-winning touchdown. One play before that, you tweeted me, "Hey, let's talk about Kirk for 4 hours." And I'm talking to Alec Baldwin. Of course I'll talk to you about Kirk for 4 hours. So how did you know Kirk was going to do it, man?
All right, so on Sunday, I could see into the future because I was about, I don't know, 1,000 beers in, and I was watching the Skins game at a bar. It was on mute, and, you know, it wasn't the best game. You know, it was, what, 3-3 at the half, and the Lions took the lead. And then here come the Redskins, come running back, and Kirk was just zipping and zooming and completing passes, and I was getting really excited, and I'm just, you know, pounding Miller Lights. And I just got really excited because I was just like, this is it. Like, we're going to be 5-2. We're going to go to London, be 6-2. And then Kirk runs the ball in from 19 out, and I just, you know, I was dumping beers on my head. I didn't, but a younger me would have been. But, and then the worst minute and 5 seconds of what will be the worst minute five of the season when it comes down to the end, I think it'll be, like, those plays that really do us in. But, yeah. Kirk, I just re-fell in love with. I'm all back in on him. If there's a little doubt, I'm all back in on him.
All right, so a lot to digest there. I'm a little disappointed you didn't dump the beer on your head, but we can talk about that later.
Now, young Nate was big into, like, dumping beers on his head. People, you know, just tossing beers in the air. You can't do that anymore. Like, that was a younger me. I've matured. Now I just drink 1,000 of them, but so they all go inside.
I kind of think I invented the dumping beer on your head move when I was young once.
At Dewey? Is that where you invented it?
I College Park was really where I perfected my move there. But that's a conversation for a different time. I want to. So let me ask you this. We're going to move on from dumping beers on our head. You're all in on Kirk Cousins. The lack of downfield throws you don't care about.
We talked about it a little bit before, how as long as he's, you know, completing the passes, moving the chains, I don't like to say there's only one way to play quarterback. Like, what Kirk is doing, you know, going 30 for 39 for 301, no interceptions, you know, what's he have, 10 touchdowns, 6 picks this season? Like, that works as a quarterback. We have the deep threat in Deshaun and Instagram about not getting his touches, but like, no, he shouldn't care. Kirk shouldn't care. I definitely don't care. Like, if he's putting them in the position to win the game, like, that's all we should all care about. I don't care about the number of shots downfield if the offense is clicking the way it's been clicking. So I try not to just like get involved in stories like that. It's just Deshaun's gonna whine, but you know, Crowder is putting on shows. Vernon Davis has stepped in for Reed and been phenomenal. Like stuff like that. That's what I care about. I don't care about the number of throws downfield.
So I agree with you to an extent. Excuse me. Kirk should not be worried about it. Kirk is moving the ball as best he knows how. He's doing a great job. I mean, you watch some other quarterbacks around the league. I mean, you watch Brock Osweiler.
He is the worst quarterback of all time.
He's terrible, man. And you think about the money he got paid and the money that's going to come Kirk's way. But So Kirk is highly efficient. He's an accurate passer. But what I would point out is, while the Skins' yardage totals are really high, and I haven't crunched the numbers yet, but going into the Lions game, they were fifth in the league in yards. So they're gaining a lot of yards, yet they were 15th in scoring. So they're getting a lot of yards, but they're not scoring. You look at the totals from Sunday, they gained a lot of yards, but they didn't score much. They had, you know, 20 points at the end of the game. They had 3 points at the end of the first half. So I get that Kirk is highly efficient and accurate, but if they could have some big plays in their arsenal, I think their scoring numbers would go way up. And, you know, it was easy to knock the defense for a while, but the defense is playing pretty well. Even if you want to be mad about the last drive to Stafford and the Lions, the defense has still only given up, you know, two touchdowns in the last two games, something like that. Right. So,
well, that's been the Skins' bugaboo, I'd say, like, all season. Is, I would say, it's play calling one and not being able to score in the red zone two. We had, you know, the first two games where Norman wasn't on the best wide receiver in the league, which was really bad, and then the Dallas game where Breland was being lit up every play, and I mean those were two bad games. But then outside of that, it's like the win against at the Giants was great. The Browns game, pretty good. Like Kirk didn't even have to do much in that game. So, I mean, still threw three touchdowns. So I don't like the play calling. I don't like a lot of stuff that we do on offense because I think Kirk puts them in really good positions to score. And then, you know, we had all those fades that they were throwing. And then thank goodness for Hopkins being a really good kicker. Like, I think,
yeah,
you know, it would be a whole different season. But I see what you're saying, and I think those plays are in the playbook. I think Kirk's doing what Kirk is comfortable doing. And if he doesn't feel like he's going to hit, you know, these long passes, I don't want him to force it. Like when we start saying, hey, you have to throw these balls, and he's forcing balls into coverage, that's not what we want. We want him to get 10 yards for the first down to Crowder. And I all day I'm going to say whatever he does best is what we want. And I think you just have to just trust him and trust, you know, to a lesser extent, the coaches, who I'm not completely happy with, to make the right calls.
Again, I'm largely with you, and I disagree. I think Sean McVay's done a real good job play calling. I think they hit, I mean, just the call to the QB keeper to Kirk, that took some serious stones to call. But again, what I'll say is, I also think teams, like, we certainly saw it week one against Pittsburgh, and then I think we saw it again from the Lions, where teams will give up the underneath stuff, just play cover two, get guys deep so they won't get beat deep, and you can let the Redskins chunk you down the field, but then it bogs down when somebody's got to make a play in the red zone. And I don't think that's totally attributable to not having Jordan Reed. I think when your offense is accustomed to that underneath shallow route, the dump-off route, when you get inside the 20, there's no room for that anymore.
Right.
And I think that is a big part of the lack of scoring, not just that, oh, there's no read, or, oh, they, you know, running the fades. It's when you're designed to pick up 8 yards a pop, that works from 20 to 20, but when the defense gets tight and everybody's bunched in, it's a different story. And I think there's some of that happening.
Yeah, and I see what you're saying. I think good teams, like great teams and great coaches, figure that out. I don't think the Redskins are there yet. I think they're a good team. And the Lions game was definitely showed great teams win that game, good teams lose that game. They allowed the Lions to go down the field and score. Skins did not score in the first half, and you have to score, you know, when you're playing the Lions defense, and they didn't. So we still have a bit to go. I mean, I think they win 8 out of 10 times in that game. The fumbles, the tripping over each other's feet, Norman going out with the concussion, like that doesn't happen if you play the game 10 times. So I think the Skins are a better team than the Lions. I don't think anybody would really argue that. It's just great teams win that game. The Skins aren't there yet.
I mean, the fumble on the goal line is a killer. The one that I keep going back to, not to suggest that the offense can't recover fumbles, because that happens. Trent Murphy makes a killer play, a strip sack on Stafford. They're fumbling around looking for the ball. The ball literally rolls right into Stafford's belly, and he's able to recover his own fumble. And that, to me, just suggested, like, oh, man, this is one of those that's going to kind of haunt you, because I think, like you said, I think the Skins were the better team, but they left points on the field. They left plays on the field. All right, but let's turn the page to the rest of the NFC East and to the Cincinnati Bengals. I think the Bengals are actually pretty good, but I weirdly think the Skins can win in London. I think they need to come out ready. I think the Bengals might come out a little fired up. It's got to kind of suck for the Bengals that this is supposed to be a home game for them. There's not going to be any Bengals fans in London. I know there'll be Redskins fans in London. Plus, I think there'll be a lot of people that, you know, cheer for punts and kicks and stuff. Just kind of generic Londoners at a football game.
Right.
What's your over-under for A.J. Green in this game?
That's the thing. A.J. Green can run all over us. Besides that, I don't love Andy Dalton. I don't really respect much about the Bengals team this year. I don't think they're very good. The 9:30 a.m. start time, the Sunday after the Halloween Saturday, is just very rude by the NFL to do that to me. Very, very rude. Gosh, that's going to be a tough day for all of us. I think Kirk is a more prepared quarterback than Andy Dalton. I think that will go a long way with these London games. I don't expect the game to be very good, as most of these games overseas are not, and most games in general are not.
I don't know if any games are good, let alone overseas.
Yeah, not at all. I find myself watching less and less. Unfortunately, didn't even watch that Sunday night game, the tie game. Now that I wish I did watch it because of like how ridiculous it was.
Yeah, but I watched the fourth quarter.
I didn't even watch it.
You know what's funny is I've now watched, what are we at? Have I watched 7 Redskins games in person? You know, probably another 25 on TV, however much I can afford, however much time allows me to watch other games. I still think maybe the best game I've seen this year was Skins Giants. That was a good game. Both teams made plays and they score, they move the ball. I enjoyed that game.
That game had everything. It had the theatrics with Odell, and it had back and forth scoring. It was exciting.
Yep.
That was probably the best game we'll see this year. Going into London, though, I hate that we even take games there. I don't really think they accomplish much that the NFL thinks they do.
Cash money is what they do.
I think they come out with the win. It's going to be ugly. I don't know. You just want to get in there, play the game that nobody cares about, and get out, and then we go into the bye, hopefully at what, 5-3? I mean, besides that,
5-3 at the bye week, really people will be fired up, man. I mean, if they get to 5-3 at the bye week, people should be very pleased. That's a strong first half. But the flip side is, if they're 4-4 at the bye week, and that includes a 4-game winning streak, I mean, you're going to start hearing the crazies come out again about change this, change that, fire this guy, fire that guy. The NFL is just such a wild week-to-week league, man. It's nuts.
This is such a big game, too, because the schedule beyond the bye week, Vikings, Packers, Cowboys, like those three in a row. I mean, we can say all we want that the Packers aren't good, but, I mean, we've all watched the Skins play primetime games, and it's still Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Right.
And then at Dallas, I mean, we go Packers Sunday night, and then the quick turnaround, the flight to Dallas on Thanksgiving, which is a hell of a schedule.
Yes.
And then, I mean, I could talk about how terrible that scheduling is for hours. Like, how can you make them play a Sunday night game and then have to travel halfway across the country to play on a quick Thanksgiving game? Like, that's the worst.
What about making me do it, dude?
Yes, I mean, think about the journalists. Think about all the people who are just writing on deadline and having to put out podcasts on deadline. Think about you guys. You're right.
Right. Right. Yeah, just, you know, everybody involved being away from their family on Thanksgiving, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think the Skins, your boy Danny Ruhier kept saying it on the radio when I was listening to those guys. They got to bank these wins now because there's a harder portion of the schedule coming. When they come out of the bye, it's going to be Vikings, Packers, and like you said, I'm not sold on the Pack, but it's tough to be sold on the Skins all the time either. The Lions game, just looking at the numbers, and I try to do a decent amount of that for our online coverage, everything shaped up for the Skins to win that one kind of going away, because the teams that you really think can beat the Redskins are going to do it on the ground, right? They're going to run the ball a lot, and the Lions don't run the ball much. They had a tremendous amount of injuries there, but sure enough, they didn't run the ball all that well. Let me look up the stats on that, but they still beat them mainly because the Skins beat themselves, and it's a familiar refrain that I think it's a little lazy to try to go to that right now and say that because there's still, you know, 9 games left and they've played pretty well, but that certainly was the case Sunday in Detroit.
It'll be I don't know if I'm going to say fun, but it'll be something. In those last 3 games of the season, the Panthers, who are not playing very well, and right. then at the Bears, which would be an easy win, and then that final week is against the Giants at home. That could be the difference between probably not the division. We'll see what the Cowboys end up doing, but maybe for a wild card, you know, if you sneak in at 9-7, and you need that win against the Giants, or maybe somehow 10-6, depending on how they play the next couple weeks. But it's definitely possible that it could come down to if only they won that Lions game, or, you know, needing to win at the Giants or at home against the Giants and needing some help from other teams.
Yeah, totally. But you know what's wild? Looking at the numbers, right? If they want to get certainly to 10, but even to 9, I think they've got to win this Bengals game. So 4-3 now. If you can beat the Bengals, you get to 5-3. Then you've got 8 games left. Vikings at home, Packers at home. At Dallas, at Arizona, at Philly, Panthers, Bears, Giants. So, let's say certainly they should be favored to beat the Bears. I'm just saying what Vegas would say, right?
Yep.
If the Cardinals and the Panthers, it's hard to even, the Panthers have collapsed. I think they could fight their way back, but it's hard to know what's going on down there because their defense is playing so bad.
Mm-hmm.
At Arizona, man, I don't know what to make of that. Home against the Vikes. Home against the Pack. Let's see what happens this week with the Vikes, because as good as their defense is,
there's so many toss-ups that you know can go either way. Like, it's very hard to tell. That I agree that this Bengals game, the difference between winning and losing is like astronomical now.
Right. Well, and Gruden alluded to that. When did he talk? On Monday, saying, you know, he's excited about going to London and all that entails, but he's way more focused on a really big football game because this game means a lot for the Skins. And he was saying, he's like, you know, it's cool that we're going to London, but we've got to practice this week for Cincinnati because this is a huge game for us. And I also think there's something there that Jay gets to coach against his old team. You know, he was OC in Cincy for a while. I think that matters to him a bit.
Yeah, and the fact that Kirk is wearing sunglasses at night to get ready for the game, I think, is huge.
Kirk is nothing if not a well-prepared dude. That guy, he does everything he can to get any advantage he can.
So it's the little things like that that'll give him the upper edge. So if I have to give my official prediction, I'm going to say Washington 20, the Bengals 13.
Okay, low scoring. I think the key to the Skins winning this week is a ton of pressure on Andy Dalton. He doesn't move around quite as well as Stafford does, and they got to Stafford well in the second half of that game. I think that's your best bet to keep A.J. Green under wraps is to get on Dalton in a hurry.
Yeah, and hopefully we get a good report card, or whatever you want to call it, from the Josh Norman concussion, and that he travels with them and plays.
That's one of the more interesting ones. You know what's funny is that'll probably happen while I'm in the air over there, and I'll land and have like a email from my boss that I need to write something.
You have to buy the Wi-Fi, dude.
Yeah, maybe. You think maybe they give it to you on international?
I think you have to buy it, but why isn't your employer's buying that for you? You have to send them the bill.
That's a good question. Maybe we'll do that and just, you know, what is it? Don't ask for permission, ask for forgiveness or something?
Exactly, and you can't do content without Wi-Fi. And I know you're a content guy, so, I mean, there's nothing else.
Content. That's all anybody wants.
Speaking, no sleep, just content.
Speaking of content, what is your Halloween costume going to be?
I don't know yet, and we have to come in costume on Monday, which is Halloween, and I have nothing. So that's something I have to figure out.
So one costume I've always wanted to do, but now I'm old and lame and won't have a costume anymore. Unless I'm like, you know, carrying my daughter, so I have to wear like a silly hat or something.
Congrats on the sex, yeah.
Thanks, dude. The costume I always thought would be really good and relatively cheap is dress up as Dwight Schrute. Go buy a terrible looking olive suit from like Goodwill, get some terrible glasses, and bang, all you need is like a mustard yellow shirt.
Yeah, you just need them and the little tie.
Right.
I thought about doing something from The Office. I think, I don't know, that might be like a fallback. I think we're expected to go, you know, like all out, and I'm definitely not going all out. So I need to whip something up, but that's definitely like a easy fallback.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm glad I'm your fallback option. I'm your state school, and you're out here applying to Harvard and Yale. Sorry.
Yeah, you know, you have to shoot for the moon. RG3 taught me that. You have to shoot for the moon and then land among the stars.
Know your why, Nate. And know your why.
Leave your wife and your child for the girl in college.
Oh, my God. All right. Plug all your stuff, man.
Plug all my stuff. Barstool Nate on the Twitter, barstoolsports.com, Venmo, Barstool Nate. that's about it.
Do you want people just to send you, like, a dollar?
Yeah, living in New York, I wasn't even at, like, a fancy place. It's just, like, a normal bar. $16 for shots on Friday.
Woo!
Casual $16 for shots. This place is ridiculous. It's pointlessly expensive.
You can't, $16 shots, man. You gotta, like, just run up to your apartment and run back downstairs or something. That's too much.
No, it's not. I can't even, like, you just see the receipt and you just go, like, really? Like, why am I signing this? Like, you hate your life, but then you just buy more, so you forget about it. And that's why everybody here is drunk all the time and broke.
Well said. All right, man. I appreciate you coming on, and we will be in touch soon.
Hey, thanks for having me, and have a safe flight. And make sure you pump out plenty of British content, but you have to use the accent the entire time.
All right, before I go into the accent, you want to hear something very cool?
Go ahead.
We got approved credentials to go to a Tottenham Hotspur practice. And I believe I'm going to get to talk to Harry Kane about, you know, what he thinks of the NFL being in London and stuff.
Where does the cool part come in?
They're one of the finest football clubs in the world, Nate.
I'm an American. I'm a patriot. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll be sure to send you pics.
I would love that.
So how should I end it with you then, if you want a British accent? Like, cheers, mate. Is that good?
You nailed it. So that was 10 out of 10.
All right. Thank you very much, bud. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me.
I owe you a beer.